Pastor Lanny, did you want to speak about Friday night? Lanny, do you want to do the special plug for Friday night, or do you want me to plug away? What's Friday night? Oh, he's been in Ukraine for 2 weeks. And Friday night is prayer to fair. Churches and pastors are coming together. Oh, he decided he does want to speak.
I got back to my home about midnight last night. My average, my average sleep all week was 3 hours a night. Bishop, good to have you in town. I look forward to having you some time with you before you leave, okay? I've mentioned to you before how excited I am about the spirit of the clergy in this town. I'm telling you, God is doing something remarkable. And I would deeply appreciate it if you guys would show up Friday night at the fair. This is our second annual praise and worship prayer time together. I was out of the country for it last year, but I'm going to be there this Friday. And then for my influencers, prophetic teams, and church leadership, we're having a number of these pastors come together for a day of training here on Saturday, September the 28th. And the sheriff or one of his representatives is going to be here to help us see how the churches can support law enforcement in our community by pointing out the neighborhoods that we need to be targeting for ministry and prayer. So I'm telling you, the frustration I've had working with clergy in this town for decades has totally evaporated. These guys and gals are wonderful people, and I'd appreciate you showing them our support for what the Holy Spirit is doing in this particular season of our community. Tim?
Thank you, Pastor. You may have noticed we have an interesting array of artwork in the alcove, and Louise Crade is going to speak to that.
Good morning, everyone. I want to begin by first thanking you for your enthusiastic support over the last several weeks. A couple of weeks ago, we had Grace Bailey come and do the prophetic painting over here in the alcove, and we had a week of training under her, and you all have been very encouraging and very supportive. This morning's effort is another way that those who are artistic in our congregation and community are trying to figure out how can we use the gifts the Lord has given us to further his kingdom. And so there is an array of art. I mean, things start from a dollar. They go all the way up. This is not a yard sale, so I don't want you to give me $5 for a $100 painting, please. But we are looking for donations to... They're not donations. They are purchases. That's right. They are purchases. Sorry. Tim and I have been talking about this. These are purchases. But all the money that is going to be collected for all these art pieces are going to further Bishop Samuel's work in Kenya. Guru Guru. Woo-hoo. So this is just our way of trying to find a way to help support what Bishop Samuel does. So we hope that you will come and look at stuff and take it all home. We don't want to carry it home, so come and buy it. Thank you.
You may have noticed when you came in that we have a lot of new artwork in the lobby. Many of those paintings were from last week when those ladies went through that week of painting with Grace Bailey. And if you notice, some of them have like these streaks going down them. Those aren't errors and mistakes like I thought they were. That's the I was like, why isn't she fixing that? That is the representation of the Holy Spirit and the oil flowing from the Holy Spirit. So a lot of them have this dramatic dripping effect, and that's on purpose. So I told them, you need to put a placard up explaining this. I don't get it. Okay. Gentlemen, if you can come up for the... Scripture says, do not be covetous, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And a lot of times I wondered, what does I will never leave you nor forsake you have to do with do not be covetous? But as I was meditating on it, it's just really clear that he does not want us to cling to the things of this world, because we are not of this world. We have been adopted into the kingdom. And our Father has said he'll never leave us or forsake us. We have everything that we could ever need in him. So that's why he wants us to be content. And the very best way to conquer covetousness is by being generous. When you give, then you are recognizing that it's all his anyway. And all I'm doing is being obedient. So, Father, we come before you, thanking you that you're going to never leave us or forsake us, that you've adopted us into the kingdom of heaven, that this is our Father's house, and that we, together with you, are going to change the world and change the destiny of a nation like this. Bishop Samuel here representing this amazing work he's doing in Kenya. And I pray that as we are generous, as we are like you, that we have your nature, that you will change us and you will change the world. Amen. Bishop Samuel, everybody, please rise and welcome our dear brother from Kenya. Oh, Brian.
Thank you, brother. Have a seat just for a second while they take up the offering, gentlemen. Samuel's been with us, connected to us for about 10 years. I won't tell all the stories, but I got to tell one about his wife you haven't heard. We were sitting on the porch yesterday just encouraging him to tell stories, Jane and Jane Amber and Jimmy Winter's front porch. And he was telling us about how, you know the story, he was born in a very difficult circumstance and rose from poverty through education to working for a multinational corporation. He had a position of responsibility, promotions in the offing. He was being prepared for a position in another foreign country. And the Lord came to him and said, "Don't do that. I want you to turn and serve me. Will you serve me today?" And he said, "Yes." And so he went home and told his wife, and she says, "Are you out of your mind?" Now, you have to understand that he was turning down a job that was their livelihood and turning to follow the Lord, and there was nothing there. They had nothing. They had no income. They had no expectation of being able to feed themselves. He told a story about he was sitting at home, and his daughter, 6 years old, comes through, and she goes to her mother, and she says, "Why is Dad sitting here? Why isn't he at work?" And she explained that he wasn't going to work, that he was going to, and his daughter says, "How are we going to eat?" And Samuel turns to the Lord, and he says, "Did you hear that?" And you understand, this is not a simple thing. He turned to serve his wife is magnificent, by the way. She's grown into an extraordinary woman. A month later, a prophetic pastor came to the door, knocked on the door. His wife answered the door. She says, "Don't hinder your husband's service to the Lord." And then she left. And his wife came to him wonderfully, tenderly, humbled, and said, "I release you to serve the Lord." And the Lord immediately began to connect them with others who would encourage them and equip and support and help get things started. For 6 months, he was supported by people that didn't even know him. They came and said, "The Lord told me, I'm going to help." And for 6 months, they did. And at the end of that, so the church started. This is 25 years ago. That was 37 churches ago, 37 pastors trained in Kenya. And 9 in Burundi, the adjacent country, which is a terrifying place. He goes where others won't go because the Lord equips him and enables him to go and preach, not religion, but hope and strength and confidence in the Lord. So would you stand and welcome the brother whom we've known these years?
Amen. Thank you, Brian, my friend, my really friend. He's come to our place and he knows us. I thank you, Pastor Lani. I'm so glad to see you again this day. When they told me you're not in the country, I said, "Wow." But I'm glad I've seen you. And also I want to thank you, team and the church leadership here. I want you to receive greetings from Kenya, from our church at Mariakani. They said, "When I come here, I give you their greetings." And also they said they really appreciate you very much for standing with us in doing the work of God in Kenya and in Central Africa. So this morning, thank Brian for the short briefing of what God has done in our life, especially me. When God called me, it was a big test because I'm the firstborn of our parents, and I'm the only one who got education. And then I got a job as a clerk, and the company took me to college, and I graduated, and there were great prospects for me. But then God comes and tells you, choose between serving me and working. So it was a great trial. But I thank God I obeyed the voice of God. And I never regret obeying the voice of God and the call of God. And through obedience, God has done tremendous, wonderful ways, wonderful works, of which when I stand, sometimes I say, I am amazed. God, by his grace, he has enabled me to preach this gospel of the kingdom in our country, Kenya, and other African countries. Yes, there are many challenges and a lot of opposition, but the Lord has stood with me, and I'm seeing him helping me to continue. So I'm thrilled to be partners with you. I'm thrilled to be partners in this work of the kingdom of God. So I have a testimony at the end as I finish my preaching today. But there is something which I want us to share from the book of Luke, chapter 14. Thank you, boy. Wow. Okay, I'll put it here. I'm thrilled by the children here. One is Alexander. Oh, beautiful boy. God bless that child. Okay, so my preaching this morning is to encourage one another and also to stir our hearts and our spirit, because there is a lot which needs to be done. And we are the chosen ones. God has rescued us, has saved us, has delivered us, has forgiven us, has given us hope. We are enjoying the benefit of believing Jesus Christ. There is abundance, peace in our hearts. There is joy and there is great hope. While the people outside there, they are full of darkness, misery, heartaches, and all sufferings. We thank God that we believe the message and we are the way we are now today because of Jesus Christ. So, in this book of Luke chapter 14, verse 15 to 23, Jesus was doing ministry. And then one person stood up and said, blessed is them who are going to eat at the feet in the kingdom of God. That is, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. There is the kingdom of God. And we are in the kingdom of God. We are God's people. We are fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. And God says that this man said to Jesus that blessed are they who shall eat in the feast of the kingdom of God. Now, a feast is a celebration. It's a place where there is food, there is eating. So Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought a 5-yoke oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still more room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Praise the Lord. So here, we are seeing a banquet, a celebration, a feast, which has been organized. A place whereby when people come, they will eat, they will enjoy without their cost. The price of our salvation is so great that Jesus was willing to die on the cross for our redemption, for our forgiveness, for our peace, and for good life. So, definitely, there was invitation first. Come on a certain day, I'm going to hold a feast. And then when the feast was ready, everything was prepared, he sent another invitation to tell all who have been invited, everything is ready, come. But we see here three types of people giving excuses. They gave excuses. And we see what they were told to go to was a good thing. A place where they can enjoy, they can relax, they can be happy, and they can be at peace and celebrate together with the master. I take the master here as the Lord Jesus Christ. And I take the feast as the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness. It's a place whereby everybody is at peace with one another. It's a place whereby people are full of joy. They are excited to know Jesus Christ. They are excited that they are believers. They are excited that their names are written in the book of life. They are excited that these people have been appointed by God. They have been saved. They have everlasting life in them. So they can be happy and rejoice at the goodness of God. So we see here three types of people. They are giving excuses. One says, I bought a piece of land. I'm not interested in your party. I have my own things. So I won't come. What is mine is more important than that celebration. And this is the heart of a man. Today, many people are no longer interested in church meetings. They are not interested in church activities. They are giving God just a leap of time. 6 days, they are doing their own things. But on Sunday, just 1 hour or 2 hours. And they have excuses. Today, look at a prayer meeting. Very few people come for prayer meeting. Why? They have excuses. The spiritual matters have become secondary, not a priority in many believers. And this is degrading the Christian faith. Thank God that we are keeping the faith here. But what is happening in Europe is so bad that churches are being closed. No people go to church anymore. Why? They had excuses. We can't go to the party. We have other things to do. We are too busy with our own. The second person said, I bought 5 oxen. I bought a tower. I bought a machinette. I have done myself a better thing than coming to your banquet. The Bible says, blessings are good, but they should not drive us away from God. Blessings are good, but they should not destroy our faith. God told the Israelites, I'm taking you into the land of Canaan. There will be plenty. You will eat and drink and be merry. But do not forget me, says the Lord. That is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. So these things, what are we learning from this? The third person. The third person said, I got married. Leave me alone. And in my honeymoon now. Yeah, it is a good excuse. But marriage without God in the midst, mostly it doesn't work. This speaks about of entertainment, leisure, and materialistic attitude. When we abandon the most important thing of our life, that is faith in God, we lay a bad foundation for generations. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When we put God first in everything we do, definitely we will listen to God and hearken to his voice, obey his voice, and be ready to follow him. So there are three things which are evident here. The care of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of this life. So that word which was planted in them was choked by these three things. It could not grow up to produce fruit. Jesus expects each one of us to produce a fruit. But no, because of the care of this word, the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of this life, they make that word being choked in us, that we are no longer producing fruit. We are no longer excited of our salvation. We are not excited of worshiping God. We are not excited of serving God. It has become a burden instead of a joy. It has become a burden instead of you love it, you want to do it. You feel at peace when you do it. You rejoice by doing it because you have obeyed the voice of your master. So the servants did what they were told to do by their master. And they came back with a report saying, they have given excuses. And the master was angry. I believe each one of us wants to please our God. I believe each one of us wants to please our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be told, well done, good servants. On that day, we were faithful to him, we were obedient to him, we loved our God, we obeyed our God, we served our God, we did at our uttermost best to please the Lord who called us into his loving kingdom. So, we learn here, the servants, they went for the first time. They invited people. They came back with a report. The master is angry. He said, go back again and tell all people. Tell everybody, those who are weak, the bad guys, the people who are not of good reputation, let them come, the poor, the cripples. They went and they did that work. And then they told the master, there is still more room. There is still more room. We have done it. We have obeyed it. They have walked on the street. They have walked telling people, come, there is food which has been prepared. There is meal. When you speak that in Africa, in Kenya, in our area, that there is food in the house, how it won't be enough because all people will rush there. So the master said, okay, you have done it. Okay, I need more people. I want my house to be full. That is the call of God. We want more people to be saved. We want more people to join the church. We want people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Because he is the way. He is the truth. And whosoever believes in him has eternal life in him. And his name is written in the book of life. I thank God I have seen all these children. Then this church will continue for generations and generations, because these children will grow up in faith. And as we continue bringing people into the church, as we continue calling them, there is food in Jesus Christ. There is peace in Jesus Christ. There is love in Jesus Christ. There is favor in Jesus Christ. There is goodness in Jesus Christ. Come and see. Come for yourself. Come. These servants obey their master. They went and called the people, come, come, and they came, and they filled the house. The master told them, go get everybody, I want my house to be full. And that is the call of God. We want more souls saved into the kingdom of God. That is the great commission. We are here for that purpose, and I thank God. This is a missionary church. I thank God you are standing together with me there in Africa and other places you are supporting. That is the great call. I'm there. You have partnered with me and I'm going. I'm getting people saved. This year we started a church in a rural village. It's amazing and I'm glad, I'm happy, I rejoice for what God is doing. In that rural village, we've started the church with the 5 people under 3. And because I went, people heard and they came. That church has over 200 people now and over 200 children. It is amazing because it started under 3 and people were coming. This means there is hunger for the word of God. This means people are desperate. They want a word which can give them hope. They want a word which can transform their mind and their life and their hearts. And that is what the master is saying. I want my house to be full. I want my house to be full. Go. And I'm glad for these servants, because they never resisted. They obeyed the first time. They obeyed the second time. And the third time they also obeyed. They were good servants. So they went and the house was full. And the heart of the master was blessed. The master rejoiced at the good work which was done by his servants. So we today, are we listening? Are we obeying? Are we ready to invite people into the banquet? Are we ready to obey our master? Do we value our salvation? What the Lord has done in our life, saving us. You are much better today because of believing Jesus Christ. You are at peace today because of believing Jesus Christ. Your life is glooming. Your life is shining because of Jesus Christ. Something good has happened in your life, and you have a reason to rejoice and to thank God for that. For example, me as an individual person, my father was not a Christian. My mother was not a Christian. And I was born in a very pathetic village. My education was struggling. I was telling those who were fellowshipping with me, I used to go to school half naked, no shoes, nothing. There is no light at home. When my mother is preparing food, the firewood which is burning is my light for me to read my books. It was a struggle. My father could not buy me even a single pencil. But I thank God when I believed Jesus. He touched people who helped me through my education to high school. I thank God that by believing, my life was transformed and light began to shine in our little village. Today, I was able to educate my young brothers and sisters. Today, there is solar power in the house of my father. Today, my mother is born again, except the father only. My young brothers and sisters are born again. Light is shining now in our home because of Jesus Christ. So because of that, I appreciate my salvation. I thank God for saving me. I thank God he has given me hope. And that good thing which God has done in my life is motivating me. It's stirring my heart to get more people into the banquet, to get more people into the kingdom of God, to get more people saved. The Bible says in the book of James that let us save others by fire, by force. Let us bring them. Let us tell them. Let us win their souls. So I'm grateful that when we obey the call of God, when we obey the call of the master, God will give us the grace to accomplish this great commission. Now, there is still more room to evangelize. In August this year, I was able to go to unknown areas in the country. I went to Malindi. You see, you don't know Malindi, but it's a town on the Indian Ocean. Then I walked deep into the interior for about 2 hours. And I was going there with an aim of reaching people who are not unreached. So when I went there, I found so many people still living in the darker world. They are still believing in the African tradition religion. They are bound by witchcraft and sorcery. They don't know about Jesus. They are not going to school. They are just living without any hope. And when I reached there, I said, oh God, I thought the gospel has been preached, but there are other areas which have not yet been reached. Then this word came into my heart. There is still more room. A lot needs to be done. More people need to be brought. This servant said, we have done whatever you told us, but there's still more room. There's still more room. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, there is still more room to get more people in the kingdom. Let us not put off the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let us ignite the fire of the love of God in our hearts to pray for people to come to Jesus, to pray for people to believe in this great gospel which has transformed our life, has changed us, and has given us hope of living. It has given us hope of living here on earth. The world is full of turmoil everywhere. They are looking for answers. The answer is Jesus. They are looking for solutions. There is a solution in Jesus Christ. So we have that word of God, which we can speak it with our friends, with our neighbors. We can tell them the goodness of God. So there is still more room to be done. In Kenya, in Burundi, it's a very small country. And when I go there, I climb the mountains, walk on foot there. I see desperate people because it has been a country of war. There was genocide there. And so there are so many orphans, there are so many widows, there are so many people desperate. I stood somewhere where very few people, and when I started to preach without any microphone, without any public address system, many people came and they sat. All of them wants to hear the message. They want to hear the word to console their hearts, to comfort them, and to give them hope. So there's still more room to be done. And I want to thank you because through your commitment to stand together in this great work of the kingdom, a lot is being done where I come from. Because when I go there, it's because of your support. I wouldn't go if you were not standing behind me. But I'm going because of your faithfulness, because of your love for the mission work. For the love you are showing by touching the hearts of many people in our area at this moment. But there is more to be done. The harvest is ripe. This year we have planted 3 new churches. Praise the Lord. It gives me joy. It makes me happy when I see people turning back to Jesus. Because I know it is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of light. Because Jesus brings light to the people in darkness. As much as we also endeavor to look into their physical needs, but first thing is the gospel. First thing is their soul. First thing is they know God. So when I visit these new churches, I'm thrilled when I see people turning to God in large numbers because of the message of hope. Now, through giving room for people to come in, I want to thank God that through your continued support, we have trained girls and boys to get skills, and they are now self-employed. And one testimony, one of these girls who was employed, and she's earning about $160 a month. In their family, which was a very poor family, they asked me to visit them. So I went there. And then this little girl and the mother, they were shedding tears. They were saying, if it were not you, our daughter wouldn't have got this skill. And now she's employed. And now we are getting support from her and educating her siblings. And then they gave me a $20 bill. Say, thank you. How do you take it? You have assisted this girl. She's now supporting her parents and young brothers and sisters. And then they invite you to go there. Definitely they have accepted Jesus. Definitely, they are now followers of Jesus. So by doing this, I want to tell you, church, it is thrilling my heart when I see what you have done together with us there. When we have built a church together, when boys are getting self-employment, when children are getting assistance to go to high school, definitely this is going to change their life and their families. And so we create more room for people to come into the kingdom. When we give them food when they are hungry, Jesus preached to them, did miracles, and he gave them food. And that's why many people followed him. So this is the good news, my brothers and sisters. The call is great, and there is still more room to be done. There is still more room to be done. So if I can briefly say, what we have done together at Guru Guru is great and amazing. For those who are on my Facebook page, they have sent me a picture this morning, and the church is full packed. There is no space because of your love. You have built them the church. I think that is the one. You have built that church. You are educating their children. You see the children are seated. There's no space anymore. And others are standing outside because of your love. When you helped them, when you educated their children, when you gave them food, when you gave them seed for planting that time, this year it was bad. There was no enough rain. But you see now people are coming. That is one of the church in the villages. Very rural village. But I want to say, you are doing something big together. And as we continue serving God together, bringing more people into the kingdom, there is still more room. Praise the Lord. There is still more room. There is still more room. Hallelujah. Let me give you another testimony. A woman who worked for 5 hours to come to look for a job, just casual work to get food for her 13 children. She is a widow and has 13 children. And the area is unproductive. It is like a desert because people cut the trees to make charcoal to sell to get a living. So when she came, she asked me to pray for her because she has problems. I said, what type of problems? She explained to me that she has no other place to get help. Through your continuous support, I had $100 I gave her. And I told her, start the selling of charcoal. And she began selling charcoal. Through selling charcoal with that $100, this lady was able to educate her 3 boys. They were able to continue to high school. After 8 years, this year I met her and she told me the story. She said, my children finished high school. 3 of them got a job. They have built me a house and they have put solar and they're educating their young brothers and sisters. This is amazing. It's amazing. Because you could see tears of joy coming out of her. And definitely these souls are saved. They are now in the kingdom of God. This is something which thrills my heart. When I see those Guru Guru children running towards me when I go visit them, they run. And they are shouting and dancing. Oh, it blesses my heart. I say, Lord, I thank you for our Father's house because you make it happen. You make it happen. So I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, there is still more room which needs to be done. So be devoted to our God. Continue to support the mission of this church. Continue to give generously because you are generous people. I have learned you are good people. I have learned you are generous people. The homes I've stayed, I have met generous people, good people, loving people. And you see where there is love, there is God. So I can declare to you and tell everybody, at our Father's house, there is God. Because where there is love, there is God. Because God is love. So I want to bless God for that. And as I wind up, as I tell you, the message is there's still more room. When I saw what I saw in those rural village, I was amazed. I said, Lord, continue to raise more workers because this work is great. This work is great. Getting the house filled, it needs committed brothers and sisters. It needs diligent brothers and sisters. It needs obedient brothers and sisters. It needs people who are filled with the love of God. They are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are willing to pursue the vision of God. Let me read from the book of Philippians 4, verse 14. Just a portion of it as I wind up. You have so graciously provided for my essential needs during this season of difficulty. These are the words of Paul to the Philippian church. He is saying that you have stood with me. You have provided the needs. When you read that verse to the end, he says, you have continued to send a gift to me. Paul was able to do great work because he had brothers and sisters from different churches who were supporting his ministry. And I can say with boldness that the work I'm doing in Kenya, it is because you are standing with me. And I'm grateful. Because together we can accomplish much. Together we can make the house full of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is commending them. Because of their support, they have provided for power. And I want to thank God that this church has partnered with me for over 8 years now. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. When I think of you, I lift up my hands before God and I pray and I say, Lord, bless our Father's house. Bless each one who loves to see people change and transformed and helped and raise up from the ashes and they become better people. When I think of this woman we helped through the funds we get here, she has succeeded in her small business and she goes to the shop and buys me a shirt and brings it to me. I say, thank you, Pastor. This is what makes me happy. When the gospel is preached, when life is transformed, and when hope is given to the hopeless. Can we stand up and we pray? So there is still more room. If you are not yet born again, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to bless your life. Jesus does not neglect anybody, and he does not condemn anybody now. He wants to forgive, he wants to save, he wants to change, he wants to deliver, and he wants to set you free. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you always give us an opportunity here on earth. These three people, you gave them an opportunity to come to your banquet, but they gave excuses. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your compassion and for your love. You have a big heart to receive even the worthless to your banquet. We thank you, Lord, that by your grace you have saved us. We thank you, Lord, that you have created us anew. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, now enjoying your goodness, your mercy, and your favor. O Lord, our God, I pray, as my brothers and sisters who have heard this word, that they will be like those servants who will do what the master tells them to do, and that they will continue to be willing to continue to do, because the work is great ahead. For the house needs to be filled, for more souls needs to be saved, and more people changed and transformed by the power of the gospel. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have stood together with me in Africa, supporting the work, and the work is proceeding well. Lord, I pray you remember them. I pray that you bless this church. And let this church, as it continues to support missions, let this church continue to grow, to increase and multiply. Let your goodness be upon them. God of wonders, I pray, you touch each brother and each sister. Touch their lives, Lord. Transform them. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength, that they continue to serve you gladly as we continue together in this journey of faith. I thank you, I praise you, and I worship you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. Thank you again. And I thank you, each one of you. God bless you. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Samuel. You guys will be seated for a moment. One of the things that is, I believe, somewhat distinct about our engagement in the world is that years ago, let me say it like this, when I first took the helm of our what is now our Father's house, there was like 10 missionaries we did not know getting $10 a month from this congregation. I thought, this is ridiculous. And so from that point forward, we began to work only through relationships. Okay, I've learned a lot of things about missions work over the years and spoke with many missionaries, and some of the stuff that takes place is quite frankly a waste of funds. And so we've been very particular to ask the Lord to give us relationships of consequence where in good conscience we can stand with men and women on this planet who we know are actually advancing the kingdom of God. It was Brian's relationship that brought Bishop Samuel into our house and our heart. And so it's our joy to be able to invest where we can't go, but we can fund sending someone else. Now, our manner for years has been described in 3 John, that we send those who come to us on their way in a manner worthy of the Lord. So we're going to do 2 things this morning. We're going to receive an offering for Bishop Samuel, for which you get a tax deduction because of the way the United States is configured. But when you go to purchase a painting this morning, that is not a tax deduction. You're buying a good. So you can't write that off. And I want you to know that this painting is already sold, so you can't have it. I saw it in its formation. Now, we have talked from time to time here about the need to build memorials to the acts of God in your life. And when I first saw this child, oh, Lord, it is so representative of what I've seen in so many nations, where you see these impoverished children with no hope and no future. This touches me deeply because Christ can change this. And we have the opportunity to influence. So this is one of my memorials that will hang in my home to remind me of what the Lord can do. When I can't go, I can send somebody. But while I have strength and clarity of mind, I intend to keep going. Jay and I will give you a report of our most recent trip coming up here in the next week or two. But this morning, our opportunity is to say thank you, Lord, for allowing us to contribute to the advance of your kingdom. So, gentlemen, if you would come. Tim, you have an announcement to make about this, because I don't do administration anymore. We have an excellent administrator.
There are four ways you can give: cash, checks. This is a QR code that connects directly to Vanco, so you can scan that with your phone, or a Givelify. That's our other giving platform to give through your phones. So come on up, guys. There's also all of the artwork, which you can buy, make a payment, take it home. There's some beautiful, amazing things over there that our ladies have created. And they also will correct checks, cash, or we have a square reader, so you can use your debit card or credit card. So, Father, we are so thankful for the work of Bishop Samuel and the amazing work that is being done in Africa on behalf of our Father's house, on behalf of this very, very generous people who regularly are giving thousands of dollars to feed the poor, to bring the lost to the kingdom of God, and to transform the lives of thousands. And we are so thankful. I just bless all of you.